Okay, thanks, Sam. Appreciate it. Scott,
we're having technical difficulties, but we can't start. We can't start.
Let's go with the other ones.
This is kind of a original type thing, but
Okay, we'll call this meeting to order. I think we have a quorum, so we'll move on. A little echo there. Yeah. Can I have an adoption of the agenda? Do you all have it? Do you have it? Where'd you find this, Scott? Okay. They were at the beginning. I missed
folks who are on Zoom will not be able to see the room at this point, but should be able to hear. Emmy, can you verify that you can hear?
I can hear.
Emmy? Oh, here we go.
Okay. I can hear. Can you not hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay.
We good? Excellent. All right. Do I have a move to adopt the agenda?
I move to adopt the agenda. Someone second it?
I would second that.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Excellent. At this time, we have some time provided for individuals wishing to address the board regarding issues that are not on the agenda. You have to state your name and address at the time that I call on you. And please try to keep it brief, if you can.
We discussed like.
Would you mind coming maybe up to the table so we can have you on speaker? You can be Nancy today.
Yeah. I am Nancy.
Oh,
that's wonderful.
My name is Nancy Bright, and I've gardened at Sisters Community Garden for 10 seasons. Since August 2012, Benny and Julie Benson have generously hosted the Sisters Community Garden, but that has changed. They've asked us to find a new site. We were to stop using the airport site in October of this year when it was obvious we could not find a garden space for the 2024 gardening season. The deadline was extended 1 year. That sounds as if we have breathing room, but the extension provides little breathing room. We still need a new site, and the time it will take to orchestrate a garden move is considerable. We need a commitment for a new site before we can write grant applications, finalize the garden design, plan the move, seek donations of time and materials, schedule the building of the deer fence, install irrigation, move the raised beds, move the greenhouse. Sisters Community Garden is a 501c3 funded nonprofit. We are entirely volunteer. Plot rental fees, fundraisers, and a few donations are our only income, but it is sufficient to pay for maintenance and improvement costs. Our sense of community is strong and infectious. We work together for common goals, raising vegetables and flowers, and keeping our garden maintained. As we work the dirt, we chat about our gardening failures and successes, share tricks for keeping the rodents at bay and protecting gardens from early and late frosts. We share the ups and downs of our lives. We become friends. Sisters Community Garden is a place where newcomers can grow roots into Sisters Community. It is a place where all ages are comfortable and welcomed. From newborns to teens to young adults to families to retirees, all are welcome. I am asking you to put the relocation of Sisters Community Garden on your board's agenda early in 2024. I urge you to go the next step toward moving Sisters Community Garden onto City Parks property. We need land. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Nancy. Are there any others who want to come up and speak? Or we have quite a good packet of emails here.
Oh,
yeah. From you. Did you send an email? Okay.
I'm Mimi Schaefer.
Okay, Mimi.
You want me to come up there?
Go for it. Come on over to the microphone if you would.
Sure. Needs to be recorded.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
There are a lot of people who come to the gardens as they first come to Sisters. Their families that come have their pictures taken. It's quite lovely and romantic. But I think one of the things that started the community garden was upswelling of emotion and belief from the community at large in 2006. When they had a hearing, remember they had the big hearing and there were a lot of people that talked about what they thought would be important to have in the city. And at the time, SPRD was the platform that took on the community garden. And that worked for a long time. But I think I'm a newcomer myself, having only come here in 2017. And Benny,
Julie
and were talking about the garden. And it was Marvin who came from a town that had a community garden. And when they moved back here and they started the airport, they said this would be a great thing for Sisters. It's an enhancement to the city as a whole. Actually, it's kind of a luxury, isn't it? For people to be able to come and plant plants in a city-sponsored or in a community-sponsored area. And I just want to remind you of that, the beginnings, and that how it is a real enhancement for the city at large. We'd get a lot of, the bigger the space we have, the more people we could accommodate. We have 50 gardeners about now. And I just wanted to remind you of that, that it's an enhancement of the city at large. It doesn't a great moneymaker, but it's something about the soul of the town, something that people can come and rest. I was saying, you know, they're picking peas and sitting reading by the apple tree. People come and say, can we just eat lunch here? You know, we've had people request to have a reception there for weddings. But I think it's just an enhancement. It's a luxurious enhancement, really. And if you want to consider the soul of Sisters, I think it's an essential part of what people like, that there are those kinds of opportunities in a town that's this size. I just would encourage you all to put us on the agenda as soon as you can. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mimi. And I believe it's been on the agenda a couple times, and yes, it's definitely on our radar as we move into 2024 as well. I think that we'll hear more about it. And Scott, do you have any update on where the city is with any plans or?
Yeah, we've been communicating back and forth with the community garden representative Jamie over there. We had some initial comments when they first kind of put this proposal forth to the city, and we've been kind of talking about it internally as a staff, you know, the public works director and the finance director and the city manager, getting the city manager up to speed on all this, and precipitated some questions that we had of the group that we shared with them, and they responded back to us on some of these things, such as how does the reservation system work? Is it open just to City of Sisters residents? They put together a really nice site plan kind of showing how it would fit on the site. There were some questions about whether all this would fit on the site at one time, and they prepared a really nice site plan.
Are you talking about Sun Ranch?
Yes, the Sun Ranch Park. Yeah. And then another kind of big question out there is how, what are the mechanics of the you know, the agreements between the city and a nonprofit to run these things? And since we've never done that, we don't have a really good example here in the city. We're going to do some research from some other communities and just haven't been able to complete that research yet. So the plan is to bring it back in February with some of that information, so you guys can take a first crack at it, and then we'll also run it through city council as well.
Nice.
And so it's good to know the timeline that you guys are on. And you know, it sounds like a lot of time, but it's really not a lot of time. So you know, the quicker that we can get on that and get you some resolution and some feedback, the better. So
we're still looking around for land too, so we hope that you can consider us early, so we know kind of where we stand with the city, whether we can hope for that. We do hope for it. We do hope for it because we think a permanent location is what we need. And to try to fundraise $200,000 for a half an acre of land is going to be a real difficult trip. So thank you for your consideration all this time. Really appreciate it.
You bet. And thanks for all your members sending in messages as well. We know that the community values it a great deal. So thank you. Yeah. Any other visitor communication? I don't see anything. Exhibit A, did we see the minutes? Did you send those in a packet?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Did anybody have a chance to review those?
That's the packet.
Okay, cool. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes from October 4th?
I move that we approve the minutes from October 4th.
Cool. Do I hear a second?
The motion.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Excellent. Okay. Scott and I thought it might be a good idea to kind of review what we went over in 2023 as a committee and as sort of, you know, the Parks Advisory Board and sort of what we accomplished, and also looking forward to 2024, what we might be on our list and hope to accomplish then. So, yeah, I mean, I want to call out Emily here for her contribution to the Parks Master Plan and all the effort you put into making that happen. For me, that was, I learned a great deal about the whole process, about sisters, about planning. And I know that wouldn't have happened without your involvement. So I really just wanted to call you out and thank you for your involvement with that and all the work you put into it. So that was great.
Yeah, thanks, Eli. I also learned a lot.
Excellent. Yeah, Scott, what else do you have on?
Sure. Yeah. And I'd like to echo that as well. Having you on those, project management team meetings was, very valuable through the process to get the, kind of an insight into what the Parks Board, you know, was thinking in terms of the Parks Master Plan, and you were able to relay the information you learned back to the group as a whole. So that was, very, very valuable. So thank you. So we didn't have any real media items for this meeting tonight because you know, of we weren't ready to talk about the garden. But since we're only meeting every other month, Eli and I were talking that we didn't want to cancel the meeting. You know, that we want to keep some continuity going with this group, and that we would find something to talk about, I'm sure. he threw out the idea of looking back on what we've accomplished in 2023, and then using it as an opportunity to kind of talk about what's on the plate for 2024, and to hear some of your thoughts about things that you would like to see put on agendas or projects or things that we can consider. And then there were some other items at the bottom that I think, Eli, you had suggested that we contemplate at the meeting. So I thought we'd just go through 2023. It's always good to kind of be reminded of what we did. I kind of, as I went through this list, I was like, oh yeah, we did that. Oh yeah, we did that. So it's always good to kind of put it in a list and really see what we accomplished. I think it's the early part of 2023 was still working on the master plan, the Parks Master Plan. And I think we got adopted in April. So that was a major accomplishment for last year. We also got an update on the Wyches Creek restoration work. We had the Upper Deschutes Watershed Council come in and give an overview of this years-long process that's been in the making, that's finally kind of coming close to the end. You know, and just for those who may not have been involved as much, you know, and involved all the planting out there they did of the kind of the riparian plants to kind of help improve that area. They did some engineering in the creek itself to improve fish habitat. They retrofitted the footbridge over the creek to make it more, to make it ADA accessible, which it wasn't before, and to make it accessible, more accessible in general. They helped reduce erosion along the creek by establishing those four kind of access points and then fencing off the rest of it, which I think over time is going to have a really nice impact on the riparian area. And then they've done, we also reviewed some of their educational signs that they are going to put up out there talking about the importance of the creek and, you know, how it's been used throughout time by Native and Indigenous people, and, you know, talking about the improvements that have been made, as well as proposing a Creekside Park Memorial, if you guys remember that one, in honor of the young man that was heavily involved with that, who lost his life recently. So they have come forward with a memorial bench that they've been working on. I've seen some photos of the work, and it's from a local artist, and I think everybody's going to be really impressed with that. And sounds like they're going to be dedicating, the family's going to be dedicating it in July of 2024, and wants to invite the community, like the Parks Board, the council, and the Planning Commission. So
I thought it was great to have the elementary school involved too. They did a lot of the planning over there.
Which, yeah,
you know, it's great to see the kids realize what's going on and be involved with it. So I thought that was a great use that they did. Yeah, they did plannings this year, but they do release fish. Yeah, it's a different program, but yeah.
Yeah.
Same creek. Absolutely.
So we also, on that theme of tree planting, I know some of you were very involved with helping out us with the Arbor Day events, where we plant trees over at, we've planted trees at next to City Hall in the past, and last year at Cliff Clemens Park, we planted a bunch of trees for that. And I know Eli and Asa were involved with getting the kids out there.
Yeah.
To
hope to get more next year. I think that'd be a great thing for this committee maybe to do for next year, is kind of, the kids really liked it. My kid goes by and said, I planted that tree now. So, you know, that's pretty cool to have the younger generation involved. So hoping we can expand on that.
For sure. And I know there's some members of the Urban Forestry Board who have some ideas about expanding it even farther in the future to make it even a bigger deal. So we also reviewed the urban camping regulations, if you recall that came through. Those were some requirements for all communities to provide regulations about where it is okay to camp overnight in the community. I haven't heard about how that's been implemented or not. I don't know if anybody has any, Councillor Letts, have you heard anything about that? I haven't heard any feedback on it after it's been implemented, but that was something that you guys provided input on, and it was helpful to council. Then we reviewed the dog park proposal, and it took a couple meetings, and we considered a bunch of different locations, and have come up with a recommendation to city council, and that was a good process. Do you guys remember that?
Very good.
Okay. Yeah. So the recommendation is for the East Portal, a portion of the East Portal, to be the first location, maybe the only first and only, maybe first of many, dog parks in Sisters. So that's something that we'll be reviewing with council and kind of making sure of the funding for that. And we'll come back with more information in terms of the kind of fencing and amenities that might be associated with that. And I know Paul was going to look at about incorporating that or seeing how that would kind of dovetail with the first phase of the construction out there at the East Portal. If there's the ability to kind of blend those projects together, or if we're going to have to wait till that project's completely done before we do the dog park, more to come on that. Obviously, we've gotten some feedback from the community garden folks, and it's not been an official agenda item, but it feels like it. I think you guys have been here a couple times with public comment, and that, as we noted, that project or that review of that proposal is underway. And then we've gotten regular updates from our partners at Sisters SPRD. I'm so used to, I worked in Redmond. I worked in Redmond. It was always the Redmond area parks and and Rec District. But so anybody else think of anything else or want to talk about any of those accomplishments or kind of pull those off?
I thought it was a good list.
It was a good list.
Proud of, I think we accomplished a lot for a little committee with changing members, you know, to get up to speed. So I think we should be proud of ourselves.
So you're a little pat on the back.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's always more impressive when you put it on a list.
Yeah.
It really kind of shows, you know, what's been going on. And then just a little look forward to 2024 about some ideas or things that we know are going to come down the pike. Obviously, we just talked about the Arbor Day and hopefully we can involve the Parks District, the Parks Board again, the dog park design and construction with, if all goes well, community garden will be a big topic. And then as we noted last time, the parks system development charges, the rate is something that we wanna run by the Parks Board and the council. In the Parks Master Plan, you know, the capital improvement project list was long and wishful. I think $15 million worth of projects. And I think it says in there that our current SDC rate would fund, I think, about only about 2.7 million of those. So.
And clarification, that doesn't need to be, that's just a council adopts at the end and it's law. It doesn't have to go through the voters. Or anything.
That's like correct. That. Yeah, council would adopt that. So there'll be, I'm sure Wayne looking for Parks Board feedback on what the appropriate increase would be for to be able to fund those projects that are in the Parks Master Plan. It's not the sole funding mechanism for all those projects. You'll recall that a big chunk of that was the potentially a multi-use pavilion, a multi-use park over at the future Northwest Park. That I think that was eight or nine million of it. And that could potentially be funded with a bond or something like that. So it's not that we have to fund all of them through SDCs. And there's grants out there, plenty, lots of grants that the city's been successful with. So that's something that we'll probably, I'm strategizing with Paul to kind of figure out when we're going to bring that back. We'll probably work on getting a consultant first and then get kind of the project kicked off and then bring it to the Parks Board, maybe in that February meeting as well. So you know, to get that going. And then kind of in line with that, you know, there's the other issue in the Parks Master Plan that they kind of left out hanging a little bit, which is what level of service that we want to use, the kind of the marker, the standard that we want to use for our community. I think the consensus was that we were a little on the low side or way on the low side for a community like ours. And so I think it would be good to kind of take that back and kind of discuss what we think is more appropriate and then maybe get council to kind of make some kind of motion to kind of acknowledge that. I don't think there's a, it's not done by ordinance, but some kind of acknowledgement that that's the level of service we want to shoot for. And that makes a difference on a lot of levels in terms of how much acreage we're going to need in the future, you know, for new parks, anywhere between 2 and 19 acres. So it has a big impact in terms of which one we go with. Then we'll hear more about what city council goals we have for the coming fiscal year. We're still operating in the 23-24 fiscal year with council goals, but starting in January, we're going to start that process of for council to try to start determining what their council goals are going to be for next year. And so that will have potential park implications. You know, they may elevate the Northwest Park to a higher level and say that's something they want to pursue the feasibility of that in the, you know, of next year or something.
This is the Woodlands one?
About. And that's just an example. I'm just throwing that out as an example. Jennifer, anything you want to add to council goals or anything like that, to that process?
No, I think the only thing is that, you know, Jordan Wheeler will float the idea to council about going to a 2-year budget and goal cycle instead of a 1, which is what we're on right now, which has its advantages and disadvantages. But, you know, just be prepared for that, you know, because then that kind of stretches out our goals you know, kind of locked into things for a longer period of time, but it at least gives us more time and maybe can flesh out larger projects and 2-year periods. So that might shift. He's gonna float that idea by us. But yeah, otherwise, and the other thing we're gonna do differently this year with council goals is we're going to have a public forum about it. And in January, I think. Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
Location not determined yet, but that's gonna be, you know, council will be there, just everybody in the public's welcome to come and, you know, kind of a loose, I think, you know, welcoming environment where people can just share ideas. So be on the lookout for that announcement, but, you know, really trying to engage the public and get more, you know, public input on what, you know, the community wants us to be working on. So, which is a little bit of a departure from the last few years. So that'll be a nice addition.
Great. Thanks for sharing that.
Just a question.
Yes.
What is the fiscal year?
Fiscal year is July 1st to June 30th. Yeah. So that's kind of just a few items that I'm sure we'll be adding. Of course, we always add projects as they come up, you know, that we don't know about that just seem to arise. Groups come forward to us with ideas. So we kind of handle those on a as-needed basis. But this might be a good opportunity for anybody to share, throw out some ideas of things that that you might want to add to agendas, and we can consider them.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Any comments from the group, the committee? Pretty good agenda for the first few meetings, I think. It's pretty stacked there.
Is to look at opportunities to partner with other local governments or agencies to expand services and better serve the community. I think that there continue to be opportunities that arise, and I think that there will be some additional ones. And for example, one of the examples that I have is SPRD and our and the looking at the elementary school and designing that 8 acres of currently public property, but not really accessible to the public, that will now become a public park. And so there's opportunities for to work together as local agencies. And so I think that that's something that our constituents, whether they're SPRD or city or both, would really value and appreciate. And so I just think that that would be, whether that's SPRD coming and making a presentation to the Parks Advisory Board on opportunities or what that looks like, I'm not sure yet, but I know we're not the only ones that, I know that partnerships were a priority in the Parks Master Plan. And so I think we want to continue to make sure that is thought of as we go through all these opportunities, because we can't meet all the goals alone. We have to do it together. We can do a lot more when we work together. So just my thoughts.
One of the great things that worked last year, which is why Emily was successful, I think, was being embedded with another group for a little while really helps both groups understand what's happening, you know. So maybe in the future, if you want a member of our committee, you know, perhaps to, you know, join that committee or whatever, or be part of it or something like that, I think it's a great idea, because then they come back and explain it to us. We have a better understanding. You have a better understanding. So I love that idea.
And I'll say a couple things, just being the interloper. So I'm looking forward to the, you know, the dog park design, you know, seeing that. And I'll just, the one thing I want to add about that is, you know, we're excited about this transit center project for our community, a really great asset. But one thing that always plagues you know, transit oriented centers like that is that the, you know, the use ebbs and flows. So there's times when there's a lot of people and there's times when there's nobody there. And in a facility like that, like a park or anything else, you know, having that constant flow of people in and out is important, because if there's these quiet times, that kind of invites ne'er-do-wells or vandalism, things like that, you know. So having amenities at that site, like a dog park, for instance, could be really advantageous in that respect, because it's going to be a draw for not only people traveling in and out of the community or through it, but just for locals. And there will be anything to keep kind of a constant presence of people in that space will be a good thing. You know, so I just wanted to add that in because I was reading through all the notes from your last meeting. So I just wanted to add that potential advantage. And then, you know, in regards moving forward and, you know, considering, amenities like a community garden, you know, council with all of, you know, our housing eats our lunch every day, you know, it's everything we do is around housing. And, you know, one of the tactics is obviously higher density, you know, multifamily, things like that. And, you know, obviously these are housing types that don't lend themselves well to having space for gardens or anything like that. So it's kind of this balancing mechanism that, you know, high density is great as long as we can balance it out with what people aren't getting if they don't have a quarter acre lot in a single family house. You know, there's, you know, we address things, you know, we changed the multifamily code last year, for instance, that, you know, multifamily developments have to have, you know, storage units on site, right? Because people won't have a garage and people have stuff. We're Americans, right? So we always need stuff. So we had to make sure that that was in the code, you know, so we were, you know, providing a good product for people moving into these facilities. But another thing, you know, is having an amenity like a community garden or a dog park, you know, places where, you know, outdoor spaces that, you know, people can make up for the fact that, you know, it's a trade-off. Okay, I'm going to live in higher density, you know, I'm losing a garden, I'm losing a space for my, you know, dog to pee or a place for my tomatoes, but, you know, they have a place, fertilizer, right? But hopefully, you know, there is something nearby that scratches that itch, because that's the only, yeah, it's really important to make any higher density housing work is to be able to recognize that, you know, people are still going to have these needs and where do we, you know, accomplish that. So it's a really important element to moving forward with our trying to solve a lot of our housing issues here. So it's not just, you know, this stuff is not, you know, extra. Parks are not extra. They are very much in the fabric of our community that it keeps us vital and successful. So.
Well, thanks for reminding us of that. That's good that it's all intertwined. That's a good way of looking at it. That conversation brings us to the next point that was on the list, like the urban growth boundary and how that might affect parks. Is that something that either Council Member Letts or you can talk to, Scott?
Well, do you want to start?
Sure.
Given the latest, it's been in the news a bit lately.
Yeah, you bet. And some of you have heard this a couple times. I think, Emily, you just heard this the other day. But
it's okay. It's good.
Sometimes it takes a couple times to sink in totally. So you probably heard we've been over the last couple of years, I guess, it's been going on for at least maybe 3 years. It started kind of with a comprehensive plan update, you know, where that's a kind of a combination of getting community input for the next 20 years. But it also is involves technical analyses, you know, that we do to kind of plan properly for the future. We always look, the comprehensive plan looks 20 years out. And so you base all your planning off of what's going to happen in 20 years. And in order to do that, you got to know what the population is going to be. And so we've got population figures. You've probably seen them and heard about them that show that Sisters will likely, or most likely, I guess, it's not perfect, will double in population in 20 years. And so use that population figures to kind of base all your planning off of your housing, your transportation, your water, wastewater, master plans. So we have done a housing needs analysis, which kind of takes the population projections. It kind of equates it to a number of housing units that are needed to kind of accommodate the growth. And our average population per housing unit is about 2.4. I think it's about 2.4 people. And so that equates to a certain number of housing units that we need to accommodate. I think everybody, or maybe you're not aware, but if you look at our zoning map, our zoning boundaries, our municipal boundaries are the same as our urban growth boundary, which in Oregon, typically, you know, every community has required to have an urban growth boundary. And usually that's a much larger kind of boundary around than your municipal boundary. So you have that 20-year supply of land to grow into, well, for one reason or another, that hasn't happened here in Sisters, and we're kind of getting to the kind of to the build out stage. We have a handful of you know, medium to large size lots. We have that 9-acre lot over here. I think that's the last biggest piece. Long story short, we put together, we had just commissioned a urban growth boundary sufficiency analysis, which kind of takes all these numbers and kind of reconciles them with how much land we have left in our existing boundaries to accommodate some of that growth. And then it determines how much that we can accommodate. And it also looks not only at housing, but it looks at employment lands, you know, our light industrial or commercial that is needed to support the population. And it looks at our parks needs. And we basically base it off the results of the last Parks Master Plan, because it was not too long ago. And it had the updated population numbers that we received. And then it looks at public works facilities. And we also talked to the school district to see what kind of needs that they're going to have with that 20-year population. And we kind of threw the population projections out. And I think the latest ones kind of surprised the superintendent a little bit. I think he's going to have to go back and sharpen his pencils a little bit on the, because we had a number, and then the next year, Portland State University, which provides all the population projections, came out with revised numbers that were even higher. And so, so that kind of all goes in and to kind of an analysis, and what gets kind of spit out on the other end is that we're going to need about 206 to 256 acres of new land in our urban growth boundary to accommodate our 20-year growth projections. And so as it relates to parks, you know, we had a range of 2 to 19 acres of park land that was needed. And that's based on our level of service. If we go with our level of service now, which is low, we only need a couple acres. If we want to go to a higher number, then it's going to be 19 acres. The council just last week or the week before kind of gave us staff the formal go ahead to start with to find a consultant, because it's a big heavy lift, especially for a small community. And so we will be going forward to try to find a consultant, and that process is a 1 to 2 year process, long time. And then be lots of opportunities for public comment, public input. And we know that Sisters demands lots of opportunities for public input. We value it. So we'll probably be going the public engagement plus version of what communities normally do with this, to make sure that there's a lot of understanding of why we're doing it, you know, and what some of the advantages to doing this kind of advanced planning are to it for our community, for housing especially. You know, right now the path we're going down is prices continuing to increase dramatically, and not many opportunities to increase supply or opportunities for requiring affordable housing in annexed areas. That's a tool that the council can use, is, you know, during annexation, a certain percentage have to meet a true affordable housing requirements. That's something we could consider.
And in our narrow view of parks, we can just make sure the consultant has that in front of them. That sort of, you know, whatever we decide on for our number it's going to be, that they know that, you know, we want to plan for that amount of parks, and the annexation will be part of it. I mean, that's our job, right? Is to sort of make sure they understand that.
Yeah. 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 And they do. I mean, they've incorporated the Parks Master Plan into their analysis.
But we still have to kind of clarify it a little bit.
We do need to clarify that level of service. That level of service. Yeah.
Key.
It is.
Given that we're surrounded by forests, but we don't have a lot of land.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Scott.
Yes.
Was that the same consultant that would do the SDCs?
The SDC?
Probably it would be a different consultant.
Different. Okay.
Yeah. I would think, yeah.
Okay.
So that's any, I give a good overview, or?
Yeah, that's good.
Sobering.
You're just starting.
And it's like a two-phase process. One is that, you know, we come up with, you know, if there is an expansion, there's, you know, a line is drawn around certain properties, you know, around the community, which is the new urban growth boundary, but then each property needs to be annexed in to the city, into the city limits separately, you know. And that's, you know, so I know sometimes people feel like, oh, it's next week we're going to double in size, and there'll be, you know, plows, dropping blades and cutting everything up. But, you know, there's a lot of property owners that might be in that circle or whatever that don't ever want to be in. And, you know, they can't be forced in. You know, some will be ready to do it the first day. you know, but it, I mean, that's the point. It's supposed to be a, you know, a 20-year inventory that we can access when needed. And then, you know, it might go fast, but I don't think so. You know, it'll be a process. So it's not going to be a big change overnight or anything. And it's also like anything, you know, I mean, Bend expanded theirs in a lot of areas, but the growth in some of those areas has been very slow. And that's partially because you need sewer, you need, you know, all of this infrastructure before you can start putting anything in, which costs a lot of money. It takes a lot of time and to design and get installed. So it won't be a quick fix or anything, or quick change. Again, it's a long-term project. I mean, hopefully the process won't be that long term.
Right.
I know McMinnville's process was over 20 years. But they had the problem being surrounded by very high value farmland on all sides. So they were constantly in legal battles over that. So hoping that won't be our case, not how we want to spend our money in legal battles. So trying to keep it a very community oriented process. But I do have one question in regards to just say bike paths, you know, separate from streets. Is that something that falls under the purview and the acreage needs of the parks, or is that under the TSP and the transportation system plan?
Probably a combination of both.
Okay.
I would think, yeah. You know, you need to have your trails through your parks, but you need to connect your parks too with trails. So I would think it would be a combination.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doug, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I was just going to clarify. So I thought I'd understood that maybe we'd have a consultant that would address the SDCs in like February, March timeframe or something like that. So the SDCs, those are just service development fees from development within the current boundaries then. So they wouldn't address, I mean, they'd apply to future growth, but they'd just apply to that 9 acres that you said was available.
Yeah, and any kind of infill sites that we have left, okay, you know, that come through.
Got it. Okay.
Building permit.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yep.
Jen, I think it's time for a Parks and Rec update.
Okay. Things have been kind of super busy at the Park and Recreation District. So we just wrapped up what seemed like our season of events. We had 3 major events in the last 3 months. So we had the car show, then we had the downtown trick-or-treating, and then we had the holiday palooza. And so we get a little bit of breathing room before the kids' carnival, which will likely be in May this year. What we've really been focusing on is really been taking up a majority of my time is the looking at the elementary school site and figuring out what we can and cannot do with that site. Kurt and I have been trying to finalize our lease, and then we are in the middle of conducting a conceptual design process for the outside space. So it's been very interesting, the amount of information that you think people know that when you start doing community engagement, you realize that they don't know. Our first community engagement, there was a lot of questions that and a lot of great questions, but it just was a good reminder that just because information is out there doesn't mean that everybody is able, like we don't need to remind people about what the information is. A lot of people are really surprised to see how much the roundabout will take out of that space. And then kind of realizing that leaves a very awkward shaped space and what you can and cannot do within that space that you have. And so we've had two, and I also remind people in a as much as I can that we are, SPRD is one of the lowest funded park and recreation districts in the state, and that we are not changing our taxing structure at this point. We would have to dissolve as a district and reform as a district, which takes a vote of the people, and it doesn't mean that that couldn't be in our future, but anything that we do, we need to do with sustainability in mind. We wouldn't be able to build anything that would require additional subsidy. And that we are also just leasing this property. So anything we build, we want to ensure that the community gets the return on that investment. And so something like a multi-million dollar investment would be something that wouldn't be financially prudent of the district to support in that location, as well as the fact that I don't think the school district would support that type of investment either. So the two engagement nights were really great. They had the first night we had 70 people there. It was a full house, a variety of interests from pickleball to community gardens to basketball and baseball, and we had some pool advocates there too. And then this last one we had is where we took the consultants took all the information. So we synthesized all the information through a few different metrics, and so part of that was the feedback that was received not only at that engagement night, but also through our surveys and then emails that I received. And then also I put some parameters on there regarding, you know, is it sustainable? How much does it cost to develop? Is it something that is within that SPRD needs to be able to do our current program offerings? Is there a revenue opportunity? So those types of things. So through those metrics, we were able to come out with some priorities that the developers took and developed a draft, super draft concept. And in that, it includes the priorities included basketball and pickleball courts, multi-use courts, athletic fields, and bathrooms and walking paths. And so we have a draft concept that the board saw like 1 hour before the community did. And so they are discussing that draft concept at our board meeting on the 12th, which I anticipate we'll have some people come and attend that as well, because people have been very intrigued by this process. And then what I hope to do, I hope when we leave that meeting to have a good understanding of what the board's wanting to support, but I'm also requesting that I have a few more weeks to come back to them with some proposals around funding mechanisms for the development, because again, we are a low-funded park and recreation district, and while we are in a lot better financial position than we've ever been, and we have a reserve, and we've been planning for this, most of our capital improvement reserve would go to the inside of that facility to retrofit it to make it work within the confines of it being a community center. And so any of this outside development would have to be funded by alternative funds. And so I want to be able to take that information and come up with a plan and present back to the board, because that will ultimately, I would think, ultimately impact some decision making. But it's been a great process. It's been very quick. Our consultants have been awesome and been very have turned stuff around very quickly. And so I'm grateful to that. Because the overall process there's been things that just take a little bit longer than anybody would like. And so it's just, sometimes it's like watching paint dry, and other times it's like running after your 2-year-old. And then lastly, just in case, I know you guys are all super wondering when our winter guide comes out. Our winter guide will be in the Nugget the December 20th. And so that'll cover the months of January through March. And then our spring summer guide will come out sometime in March. And we're looking to for spring summer, we're really looking at, we're going to be expanding our day camp offerings. And so to kind of continue to meet the growing needs in our community. And we are also currently in the middle of going through a preschool redesign so that we can better serve the community based on the need for more full day care and additional spots. And so anyways, look for that in the coming months as we work through that to hopefully try to fill some gaps for sisters.
Awesome. Thanks, Jen.
And I would like to thank Jennifer for all her hard work and applaud her for the Holiday Palooza, the parade and tree lighting just went excellent. We had our family there and appreciate it. That was a very good event. Until the sun went down.
Yeah.
Great. Well, there's only a couple items left. We'll get you off in time here. But one of the things I wanted to bring up was last year, Dana, who was our chair, he had us kind of pick a park and be sort of a park liaison, just kind of to check in on the park and see how it was doing. And I didn't know if there was interest from this committee in kind of continuing that sort of program where you sort of adopt a park as a committee member and it just kind of, you know, once in a while, tell the board about it and check in on it and see how it's doing. Not that the city isn't doing a great job of doing that, but more on, you know, a citizen level. So wanted to gauge interest in that, I guess.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we'll talk about it at the next meeting and we can pick some parks and you know, come up with some, you know, yeah. What I think part of it was just checking. Yeah, part of it was checking in. Part of it's like, hey, what could we do to improve this or, you know, or things like that. So, and then the other thing I thought might be fun was just to go around and what each of us learned about City of Sisters Parks this year. I know it was a big year. We went through all our accomplishments. I mean, I'll start. I learned so much about putting things in a master plan to make sure they get done eventually, even if you're never going to do them. You know, that was a huge thing for me to learn, right? It's like, you got to write it down just so you could have money 20 years from now to at least fund it. So that was a big click for me. And just the time scale of things, you know. I was lucky enough to come in on the end of a lot of things, like the Wyges Creek restoration. And it's nice to see those come to fruition, but I know those didn't start. That was a five-year thing or something, right? Yeah, exactly. So it's just nice to see that. For me, those were my big... my big learning moments, I guess, what I learned. So, Emily, you want to?
Oh, right.
Put you on the spot.
No, yeah. And I'm like, oh. I mean, just kind of going back to the Parks Master Plan process, I learned so much through what it takes to look at like a 10-year master plan at a city level. And I'm really grateful that for many reasons that Sisters is not bigger. But no, it was really insightful. And I also feel like I have a much better understanding because of it, of what is important to the citizens here, what kind of services, opportunities they're looking for.
Pickleball.
Definitely pickleball, community pool, dog park, community gardens.
Doug?
And I guess I would go back to the master plan as well, because for being new to the board, it was just a really good opportunity to get the breadth of all the parks and know all the city parks and then private parks as well. But and then also just what's at each one and then the priority for the future. So I think that was a great accomplishment and applaud everybody that worked on that. That's probably the biggest thing that I learned.
Excellent.
Yeah, for me, the big learning came when I read the master plan, actually, early on in joining this group, was the statistic you actually referenced earlier, which was that despite the feeling that we have a lot of parkland in this city for us, it's actually well below what the goal would be, which was a big surprise to me, because that was one of the things that attracted my husband and I to live here a year ago. So yeah, just understanding that and having the opportunity to hear about, you know, that parks are in that conversation around the urban growth boundary change, you know, long-term plan and that sort of thing is really satisfying. So,
Asa?
Well, I feel like a broken record with the master plan, but I will say, I agree, I learned a ton from the master plan and what it takes to plan around a city for parks. It's pretty intense. But what I've really enjoyed about being part of parks is seeing what the community wants, because usually we kind of stay in our lane. And so the things that I'm interested in, those are the people I communicate with. I don't play football. I didn't know it was so popular here. I mean, that's just one example. And everyone uses parks. So it was really, really nice to just remember, even though we're a small community, there's a lot going on for everybody else.
Yep. Thank you. That's great. You want to talk about interviews at the last minute?
Yeah. So we have one position whose term ended as of the end of this month. So we that reject the applications for that one position.
We're the only ones that don't have to decide.
Yeah.
So me, you, and Molly.
Oh, Molly was okay.
And Nancy? Nancy's Mary. Not. She's pretty new, isn't she?
Nancy's new.
And then.
Only three terms.
Yeah, it might be three.
It was three when I signed on. So
it was me, you, and Molly all.
Yeah, all at the same time, right?
Yeah.
So that makes sense that it was three again. Less words.
Are there term limits on this? No. Keep going forever.
Mayor letters.
Right.
Awesome.
Find him a slice.
Yeah. Awesome.
Huh. Oh, because she replaced
Dana.
Sarah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, she replaced Dana, so it was only a half year.
There we go.
That's
and he was
in our cohort.
Right.
Yeah.
Just reassigned. So that makes sense. Yeah. I didn't.
I forgot about that.
Don't question the city employees. They know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate all of you for coming and getting this on your schedule.
Liz, and thanks for being a part of the Parks Board.
Yeah.
I think it's
meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Well, I just want to say if you're not on the Parks Board.
Yeah. Pleasure. Yeah, I meant to say that. If I don't see you again, it's been real.
Appreciate you being chair.
That's right. The brief tenure it was.